The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the world of terrifying imagination. Of all the great killers of history, perhaps the deadliest and most terrifying is the automobile. Nero, Attila the Hun, Lorenzo de' Medici, Bluebeard, even artillery fire and the ultimate, the atom bomb, at least have a purpose, a reason, a rationale. But the automobile maims or kills mindlessly, senselessly. For example,
this is old Long Jack here in the studio on a lonesome wet, foggy night. Saying if you're on weed, we'll be able tonight. It's heavy, man, heavy.
Oh, shut up, you fool.
If you just let Big Daddy help you out,
You can't help me, Big Daddy. I must have hit something. Somebody. Split. I got a split.
Our mystery drama, And Nothing But the Truth, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Arnold Moss. It is sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll return shortly with Act One.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K presents
The Good, the Bad, and the Heavy.
Why is that cowboy wearing a ball and chain?
Because carrying around extra pounds can be just like carrying around a ball and chain.
How symbolic.
Well, it is, senor.
Give me the Special K breakfast.
Here you go. Four special things came in for juice and coffee.
Ah.
Say, don't I know you from someplace?
You probably don't recognize me with my ball and chain. I used to be 10 pounds lighter, but I'm getting back that way by exercising and eating smart at every meal. Starting with this here Special K breakfast.
What's so special?
It's less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and delicious. It's going to help me get rid of this here ball and chain.
I bet your horse will be glad to hear that.
Another ball and chain. Fight the dust.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
That's Kellogg's Special K.
That's right.
Good night.
There's no mystery to the fact that Janssen Beach Center is the place to shop anytime, but especially right now when prices in all 60 stores have been reduced for January clearance specials. Not only do you save money by shopping at Janssen Beach Center, but gas by being able to shop for all your needs at one location. And it's warm and comfortable in the heated malls. The mystery has been solved. Janssen Beach Center is the place to shop for January clearance specials. Janssen Beach Center. Just off Interstate 5 at Janssen Beach.
Build for your tomorrow a place to safe and sure. Just join their own savings and make it all come true. Now you get a bonus, so make your move today. Take stock in America by you.
Was the accident we heard a few minutes ago another statistic of the road? An innocent victim? A careless driver? The victim's family broken and lost? A young man whose carelessness had blighted a bright new manhood and a promising career? Or was the driver lucky this time? Lucky in a way far beyond his hope or expectation? We're about to find out with David, the young driver, as he paces his living room floor, waiting for his father to come home.
Dad?
David. David, what are you doing up at this hour?
I didn't hear you come in. I thought you'd never get home. Where have you been?
Well, now do I have to start answering to you for my whereabouts?
What? Oh, you mean like Mother?
Yes, like your mother.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Well, for your information, I was working, correcting term papers. It wasn't that I... David, I'm very tired.
You all right, Dad? You look like you had an attack or something.
Well, don't be silly. I said I was tired. What's wrong with you? You've been drinking.
Yes, I wish I hadn't, but I didn't.
Okay, son, take it easy. Whatever it is, we'll work it out. Where's your sports car? Didn't you have it out tonight?
Yes, I left it parked on the street.
Well, you better put it away. There's no sense in leaving it out in this rain.
Dad, I've got to talk to you. It's about the car.
What about the car?
I didn't know what to do. I hit the panic button. I ran.
Well, what else did you hit?
Someone. A man. I'm pretty sure. Down near the railroad. You know where the big curve comes around by the station opposite Franny's place? I think it was one of those old winos that hang around there. Dad, I swear I never saw him with all that rain and the fog.
Was there anyone else around?
I didn't see anyone. I should have stopped. But all I could think of was that I'd been drinking and the scholarship coming up, and if anything happened, it would kill Mom. And before I knew it, I was running away. I've been going crazy waiting for you to get home. I'm scared, too, but I guess I ought to go to the police.
Does your mother know about this?
No.
Okay. When did it happen?
2:00, almost on the nose.
2 this morning?
Yeah.
By the railroad, you say?
Yeah, I just came off Stratfield, and I took the corner into the Big Bend on Hills Point.
I get the picture. Okay. Now go in the kitchen and wait for me. And no matter what, don't let your mother get involved.
Where are you going?
I'm going to have a look at your car.
Well, I'll come with you.
You'll do as I say from here on in. Now you go to the kitchen. I'll be right back.
What are you going to do?
I'm not sure yet. But just... Well, maybe there's a way to get off the spot. Your mother still asleep?
I guess so. She hasn't been down.
There's a dent in your front right fender. Was that there before tonight?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, I simonized the car yesterday. Does it look bad?
Well, not to... Well, it must have been a glancing blow.
You mean maybe it's going to be all right?
Maybe.
Oh, I don't think I could hurt him too bad. And a night like tonight, you know, oh, who'd be hanging around?
It isn't going to be all that easy, David. They might be able to trace the car.
How?
You're missing a front right hubcap. There aren't that many Harley 584s in this town.
So I'll have to give myself up.
No. Let's figure this out. Was your mother up when you went out tonight?
I don't know if she was asleep, but she wasn't downstairs.
Well, then she didn't see what car you took.
No?
Did she see me leave? I mean... Did she look out of the window or anything?
No. She was just sitting in the big chair by the fireplace, crying.
Crying?
You know, the usual.
Then I was off once again to the arms of another woman, hmm?
Like that.
Well, you don't believe all that talk, do you?
Look, Dad, we've been down this road before. I'm not making any judgments.
I'm not asking you to sit in judgment on me. I asked for a simple reaction between a father and a son. I'm sorry, David. I didn't mean to blow up.
I guess we're both a little shook tonight. But you ought to know by now where I stand. It's just, well, I know Mom gets a lot of screwy notions, but all the same, I'm sorry for her. She's so lost and... Well, I'm always afraid that any little thing might push her right over the edge. Like tonight, oh, Dad, what am I going to do?
That's what we're going to figure out right now. I got a few more questions. You say the accident happened at 2:00 or so, right?
Just as I said, almost exactly.
Now, how do you know that?
I was listening to Long Jack, and he was just going into a last commercial before he went off the air. The disc he was spinning was just ending, and, well, when I hit the guy.
What was the record?
An oldie, Easy to Love.
And you hit this man just after you turned off Stratfield into Hills Point?
Yeah.
He suddenly stepped off the curb.
Like out of nowhere.
How fast were you going?
Gee, Dad, I...
Now, come on, come on. Don't pussyfoot with me.
Too fast. I took the corner pretty wide.
Did you skid?
Yeah, it was pretty slick from the rain.
And there was no one else around?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, I opened the door to look out. There was no one. That's why I lost my nerve and cut out. Well, I better get down and find out.
You stay right where you are.
It's after four. The longer I wait, the worse it will be for me.
You're not going to be involved in this at all, David.
What do you mean?
I mean, you were driving the station wagon tonight. I was the one who was driving the sports car, and I'm going to the precinct house right now to report that I hit a man and left the scene of the accident.
Dad, I can't let you do that.
Don't be a fool. I'm not on the verge of getting a full scholarship to Harvard. I haven't been drinking. I'm not a teenager with two strikes against him as a driver to begin with. I'm a full college professor with a distinguished record who is coming home on a foul night with visibility almost zero, dead tired, after correcting 200 term papers. I can stand the gaff, and you can't.
No, sir, Dad. I thank you, and I admire you, but I hope to God I'm enough of a man not to hide behind my father's pants.
You'd better think of it as your mother's skirts. Your mother couldn't care less what happens to me, but you're a different story. You get in big trouble over this, and it could kill her. Worse still, drive her over that edge we both worry about.
But, Dad, I...
Don't argue. This is the way it's going to be. You just let me handle it, and you keep your mouth shut no matter what happens.
I don't know what to say.
I'll tell you what you're going to say. Nothing. Nothing to anyone.
But, Mom...
Least of all to your mother.
Okay, Dad, if that's the way you want it. Oh, how can I thank you? You're some kind of a guy.
No, David. Just the most sensible way out of a bad situation. I'd better get down to the police. Don't wait up. I may be a while. It's still raining. You got the keys.
Sorry, right here. And thanks, Dad. For everything.
This will all work out for the best. Oh, I think I hear your mother moving about.
If she comes down, what do I say?
What we've agreed on is the truth. And I've gone to the precinct house to report that I'm a hit-and-run driver, right?
Right. I'll never forget what you're doing for me.
And for your mother. For all of us.
Grant, is that you?
No, Mom, it's me, David.
Oh, I thought I heard your father come home a little while ago. What are you doing at the front door?
I
better calm down. What's going on? I heard voices, angry voices.
That was Dad and me. Not angry, we were just discussing something.
Then where's Grant now? Yes, I heard a door slam. Did he go out again?
Yes.
Not another woman. Not two in one night.
Why don't you give him a break once? He was at the college correcting papers.
Then where's he off to now?
Mom, it's kind of damp in the hall. Let's go into the living room and sit down.
Don't tell me he's finally taken off for good with one of his bed partners.
Oh, Mother, have a heart. Why can't you see what a right guy Dad is?
Maybe I've known him too long. So what errand took him out of the house again at 4:20 in the morning?
He's gone to the local precinct to confess to a hit and run.
Yes, madam, I understand. I'll have some officers on the way immediately. Well, these are experts in the bomb squad. Oh, yes, ma'am. All the latest equipment. Thank you, ma'am. We do our best at the police department.
full moon time again, huh, Lieutenant?
Oh, yeah, Rizzo. The crazies are out on the broom tonight. There was some ding-a-ling just saw a UFO land in her backyard. How was your hit and run?
Oh, no sweat. Some old wino stumbled off the curb, got his rear end creased. They took him to St. Elizabeth's. Anything on the general bulletin?
Nah, it's small stuff. Muggy in the second precinct. It's a gas station hold up on the fifth.
Uh-huh.
I want to hear something new. That's a 12th. Nah, nothing. A code 2, see the man. Some citizen reports a smell of gas in his apartment house, possible suicide. It's nothing worth our brains. What's that in your hand?
Ah, it's a hubcap. Clue from the scene of the hit and run.
Oh, let me have a look in.
Mm-hmm.
English make. Probably from a Harley. Or some sport car like that. Found on the scene?
Uh-huh. About 75 yards away. No proof it had anything to do with the hit and run.
How's the victim?
Condition fair when the ambulance picked him up. He only got struck a glancing blow.
That still don't make no never mind. The perpetrator cut out. I want him brought in.
Oh, so do I. But it may be a little rough. Even if we find the car this belongs to, it doesn't prove it was lost hitting the victim. Could have been loose and just fallen off.
So you think we don't make the guy, eh?
My educated guess is that the odds are not so high.
Yeah, Brady, what is it? You don't say. Why with you now, huh? Well, how about that? Yeah, bring him right in. Educated guess, huh?
I was wrong.
Couldn't be wronger. Guy named Williams just came to the desk and confessed to making the hit and run. He's on the way in. You and he should get on together just dandy. Guy's a college professor.
Your father hit someone with the sports car tonight? But that's impossible.
How can you say that, Mom?
Because he wasn't driving that car tonight.
How do you know? You didn't see him leave?
No, but I was awake when he drove in. And I could swear, I know he was driving the station wagon.
A father's sacrifice for his son. Surely a noble, if perhaps misguided, gesture. The question, of course, is, should a young man, or anyone, be encouraged to evade responsibility? And will this simple act of altruism remain just that? We'll find out shortly when we return with Act Two.
I'm High Brown, producer of Radio Mystery Theater. We're in our third week of original radio dramas, and I'm glad to report we're not the only ones who are excited about it. A listener in Texas writes, it's the best thing to happen to radio in years. We'd like your comments, too. Right now, we're in the last week of drawings for valuable prizes, 50 of them. 2 AM-FM stereo phonos, 2 travel clock radios, and 46 anthologies of modern suspense. To be eligible, just send us your name and address. Add your comments if you like. The address, Mystery Theater, Box 50, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. That's Box 50, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. Entries must be postmarked no later than Saturday, January 26th. Offer good everywhere unless locally prohibited.
I'm Cliff Robertson, and I made a picture not long ago called Charlie, where I played the part of a man who was mentally retarded. I'd like to tell you a little of what I learned. Thousands and thousands of mentally retarded children are born each year. It can happen to any family, rich or poor. It makes no difference. Except some children are luckier than others. Some kids can be just a little slow in learning. But some will never learn much of anything at all. But every one of them can be helped, and that perhaps is the most important thing that I found out. These kids have a right to a chance to learn as much about how to live a normal life as they can. The National Association for Retarded Children and its nearly 1,500 local associations are helping to give them that chance. Will you help, too, by supporting the work of your local association for retarded children? Thank you.
Thank you. precinct house in a large city, even at the best of times, is never the most prepossessing spot in the world. In the dog hours of the morning, dusty, dingy, tired paint peeling from the walls, half-empty coffee containers with cigar and cigarette butts floating in them, it is certainly one of the most depressing, or so Grant feels as he dictates his false confession.
Well, as I say, I was dog-tired, very sleepy. It was only when I was putting the car away in the garage and I noticed a dent in the fender and found that one of the hubcaps was missing that I began to realize with horror that I might have hit an animal, an opossum or something. It never occurred to me that it might have been a human being. Well, I would have returned right away, but my wife, who has not been well recently, well, she was up. She was waiting for me, and I didn't want to alarm her. And so I coaxed her back to bed and to sleep, and I came here just as soon as I could.
And this was what time, Professor?
Almost exactly 2 o'clock.
And you could fix the time because you were listening to Long Jack on the car radio and he was signing off.
You like acid rock, Mr. Williams?
I beg your pardon?
Acid rock. You know, the big hard beat, loud enough to blow your mind.
Oh, no, I don't. Why?
Well, that's Long Jack's bag. It's most of what he plays, you know. I didn't figure you'd dig his scene.
Yeah, well, I didn't. I turned on the radio to keep me awake, not for music appreciation.
Uh-huh.
As it happened, I didn't find the music particularly mind-blowing. As a matter of fact, I remember the last number he was playing just before he signed off was Easy to Love, and I wouldn't call that exactly contemporary.
The main point is that you made the turn at 2 o'clock. You felt a jarring feeling, which jives with our information. Right, Rizzo?
Right, Lieutenant. I see. Your victim left Franny's restaurant, 518 Hills Point Road, at approximately 2 minutes to 2 a.m. Because victim was discovered by George Bates, post office employee, some 2 minutes later. He heard a car drive away, but due to adverse weather conditions, could not see it or make any identification. Victim was Dominic Capello, unemployed, 61 years old.
Well, I hope he's all right.
He's at the hospital. We don't know the extent of the injuries yet.
I feel terrible, that poor old man.
Professor Williams, let me point out something. From your story and our evidence, there is no clear-cut evidence that you did hit this man. Now, if I were you, before I went any further, I'd get a lawyer.
Oh, there's no need for a lawyer. I'm quite willing to face my responsibilities. If you'll prepare a statement for me, I'd be very glad to sign it.
All right. I'll leave you here with Patrolman Foster, who'll type up a statement. You just check it over when he's finished, and then if you still want to, you can sign. I'll be right back.
Lieutenant, see you a minute outside.
Okay. All right, Rizzo, what's fighting you?
I think the guy's lying.
About what, for Pete's sake? Why would he lie?
To cover up.
Cover up who?
How do I know? His daughter, son, wife.
Now, why would he want to take the rap for that?
Ah, that's what'll take some digging to find out.
Oh, boy. 15 precincts in this city, 4 detective divisions, not to get stuck with you. You want to make a federal case out of one sneaky little hit and run where the guy comes in like a good citizen and confesses, and just for once make the job easy? What do you got to do, go looking for trouble?
Now, Lieutenant, it isn't just the few small discrepancies. It's the whole psychology of the man.
Psychology, that's all I need. The new breed. Now, look, Rizzo, will you for once just forget the college education and get back in there and have that statement signed, sealed, and delivered, and stop making waves?
Mother, please. Will you let well enough alone?
I've kept quiet about too many things for far too long, but I can't let this go. I know your father wasn't driving the sports car tonight.
Okay, so he wasn't. So you know what that means.
Oh, my darling, I...
You want to get me locked up?
No, of course not. But why should it come to that? You don't know yet if you really hit anyone or hurt them.
I'm not kidding myself. When I pulled away, I tried to tell myself nothing had happened. But now it's all on the table, and I know that guy got hurt. And I'm scared. I'm scared of what they could do to me.
Darling, there's nothing to be scared of in being honest, owning up. It was an accident. David, please.
Will you let me go?
I'm only trying to help
you. Oh, sure. Some help you are. I don't understand you, Mother. Look what Dad's willing to do for me, and all you want is for me to turn myself in.
I want you to be honest.
This is for laughs. I mean, look. Dad went down there to take the blame so he could protect you as well as me.
Protect me?
Yes. He said it would kill you if anything happened to me.
Grant was worried about me?
Yes.
Don't you ever believe it.
Mom, how can you be so bitter? Look what he's done for me.
He's got to have an angle.
That's unfair. I know you and Dad have problems. I'm not going to try to make any judgments about...
Oh, but you do. You make them every day in spite of yourself. And always against me.
Mother, I've had just about as much of this as I can take.
You know, the curious thing is that I know you love me in spite of everything. Just give me a moment.
What is it?
I don't stand much chance, do I? I spend so much time upstairs with myself. Very lonely with just yourself. I'm a woman not quite able to cope. A woman with hallucinations. It's something out of Dickens. Living among cobwebs of near insanity and the ghosts of what never was.
Mother.
Look, it's time I told you. Time I try to tell somebody. I'm a prisoner with a life sentence. Because I can't stop loving. To everyone else, I'm the ghost. But the truth is that the real corruption lies rotting in that very man we both love. David, I don't want to ever see you become like him. I would rather see you dead. That's why I want you to take your own troubles on your own shoulders.
Mom, don't you think you ought to lie down? I mean, you're not...
It's easy, isn't it, to find a scapegoat, to make someone else responsible? Poor, mad, wasted Marion Williams, married to that intelligent, handsome man, respected by his faculty, worshipped by his students, particularly the girls. Oh, yes, particularly the girls.
Oh, Mother, for Pete's sake.
No, this time you don't stop me. I loved him so much, I forgave all those early affairs. The young children invaded, cheapened. I saved him. I went to those girls. I begged them off. And after you came, the pattern continued. I began to retreat farther and farther. I had the money. That's why I could always keep him. And I couldn't stop loving him. That was the saddest part, wasn't it, David?
What?
I was the one who ruined him. Without me to cover for him, he'd have been found out long ago. So you see...
I don't know what you mean, Mom. I can't discuss what you've been talking about. But that has nothing to do with what Dad is doing at this moment. I've been drinking. I couldn't have gone to the police. Dad can handle this. Please, leave it alone.
And let you spoil yourself just as he did. The rot spread so fast, David.
The incident was totally minor in mine till I returned home, found that there was a dent in my front fender. Well, I've read this through, Lieutenant, and there's nothing here that isn't consonant with my earlier confession.
It's a formality, Professor. I prefer to have you read it aloud before you sign the statement.
If you insist.
It's better, Professor Williams. There is much more. Go ahead.
It's quite evident that I must have been responsible for striking with my automobile one Dominic Capello, 61, at approximately 2 a.m. on the above date. This statement is a true and unsolicited confession of my responsibility and...
Excuse me, Lieutenant.
Close the door, Rachel. Come on in and hold it. You can go out, Professor.
In witness whereof, I set my hand... If you have a pen, I'll sign.
Lieutenant.
What is it now, Rachel?
Have you warned the professor again that he should have legal representation?
No, I don't need a lawyer.
I'll have to warn you, sir, that you may. The man was hit just died in the hospital without regaining consciousness. It isn't just an accident anymore. It could be homicide.
Oh, come on, Rachel. Manslaughter. But it does change things, Professor. If you sign this, I'll have to book you. There's a problem with bail. You should have a lawyer before you sign.
Well, nonsense. I want a sign. Let's not waste any more time, and then I'll call my lawyer.
All right. Detective Rizzo, with your witnesses.
Yeah.
You'll have to be fingerprinted, Professor.
Whatever you say, Lieutenant.
Foster will take you to a phone first to call your lawyer about bail.
Thank you. And thank you, Detective Rizzo.
Don't mention it.
All right now, Rizzo, don't say it.
I've got to. Something's out of kilter. I never saw a man so anxious to get arrested in my life.
He just wants to get it over with and get back to bed. Now, who doesn't?
It's wrong, Lieutenant. It's wrong. A cool, collected individual like that doesn't go around hitting panic buttons and taking a powder out of a bad situation.
Now, Joe, drop it. Lay off. Don't give me any more of the psychology. I'm just a plain flatfoot who came up through the ranks by sticking to one thing, facts. Let's give the guy a vote of thanks for coming in. My psychology is we leave it lay, huh? You got any other hunches? Save them for the ponies. Okay?
Okay.
What's on the bulletin, Rizzo?
Oh, same old noise, nothing special. They picked up that mugger in a second, a repeater.
What's happening with Professor Williams?
Huh?
Williams, the professor. You remember the guy we spent most of the night with?
Oh, yeah. Well, he got fingerprinted and his lawyer sprung him. He's going home. Hey, look at this, Lieutenant.
What?
That code 2. See the man in the 12th? That suicide was no false alarm. There was a DOA. Only now it looks like homicide. They figure the girl was strangled before the gas was turned.
Oh, what do I care about some dame in the 12th? The 7th is my baby. Let the 12th worry about their headaches. I'm taking you off.
Marion, for the last time, you stay out of this around.
You'll what, Grant? Kill me? You did that a long time ago. The only reason I clung to any shred of life was because of David.
And a fine little mama's boy you made out of him. The moment my back is turned, he runs to you. He blurts out the whole thing.
Oh, no, he didn't. I figured out what happened myself. I saw you drive away in the station wagon.
Oh, why can't you mind your own business?
Because I don't trust you. And I want David to be a man and stand on his own feet.
Will you get something through that bird brain of yours? The man who was hit is dead. David had been drinking. You won't be emancipating your son. You'll be burying him in jail. Is that what you want?
You're hurting me, Grant.
Is that what you want? Well, will you keep your mouth shut and allow me to do something for my own son?
Please, let me go.
Not until I get your promise to leave things as they are.
I don't want David to go to jail.
All right, then. I can trust you.
Yes. I only wish I trusted you. You've never done one unselfish thing in your life, Grant. I only wish I knew what it is you expect to gain this time.
A torturing dilemma for a mother and father. Is the father right to protect his son, or the mother to feel it would be better for him to take his medicine? So many other questions pose themselves. Questions which will be answered when I return shortly with Act 3.
You don't see many people putting salt in their beer nowadays. Not that there's anything wrong with salt on radishes or French fries, but man, not in the king of beers. Truth is, the only thing salt can do for Budweiser is make it salty. An unwise thing to do to the only beer in America that's beechwood aged. Unsalted Budweiser has become the most popular beer in the world. That's because in brewing Bud, the Budweiser brewmaster goes all the way for a taste, a smoothness, a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. And something else you can take without a grain of salt. The fact that when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Take the time to listen. Take the time to care. If I know you understand me, then my mind is yours. Listen with your heart. Listen with your mind.
my grandmother just died.
I'm so happy for you. Meet Mrs. McNulty.
How do you do?
Did you know you have spinach on your teeth?
Oh, that's wonderful. This is Mr. Jackson.
Nice to meet you.
I have bubonic plague.
Oh, yes, Mr. Plague. Meet Mrs.
Reception lines aren't the only places people don't listen.
When you
Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Those questions I mentioned. Of course, Marion Williams would feel herself hurt by her husband's interest in other women. Or is that all in her mind? A figment fantasized by her obviously shaky mental stability. But then, there's also the doubts of Detective Sergeant Rizzo. Let's follow him for a moment.
Yes?
Is Professor Williams at home?
No, he has classes this morning at the university.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Excuse me, I'm Detective Rizzo. This is my shield. I wonder if I could talk to Mrs. Williams for a moment.
I'm sorry, but my mother, she's still asleep. She's kind of an invalid.
Oh, and I wouldn't think of disturbing her. You're Professor Williams' son, huh?
Yes.
Well, then how about you take the chain off the door and I step in and ask you a couple of questions?
Have you got a warrant?
A warrant? Now, what would I want a warrant for? Look, don't let me being a cop scare you.
Oh, I'm not scared.
You always keep a chain on when you open the front door?
No. I'm sorry. You're wasting your time. My father told me not to answer any questions.
Then you know about the accident last night, huh?
Yes, but I'm sorry. I've got to close the door.
You drive, kid.
Sir, your foot's in the way.
Oh, yeah. So it is. Anyway, I figure you drive since you got a license. I looked it up in the bureau.
Would you move your foot, please?
Hold it just a minute. Here's your newspaper, huh? You might want to read about the accident. Page 4. You know, check out the details.
Thanks for the paper.
Sure. Here.
Will you let it go, please?
You weren't out driving yourself last night, were you?
I'll take the paper.
Yeah. And now I know my hunch is right.
Come on, come on. Where are you?
Hello?
David, where were you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just bringing down Mother's lunch tray.
You should never answer the phone. Any mail? Any phone calls?
Just a couple of ads. No phone calls. We had a visitor.
Who?
A Detective Rizzo.
What did he want?
He said he wanted to talk to you. Then when I said you weren't home, he wanted to talk to Mom.
Well, you didn't let him.
No. She was asleep, so... He said he wanted to ask me some questions.
Good Lord.
It's all right. I didn't let him in, and I didn't tell him anything.
Well, I hope you didn't. He had no right, no right to... David... David, you're sure you didn't...
No, I didn't say anything, but I'm scared. I think he knows. I think he's guessed that
Now, listen to me, David. I don't care what he knows or what he suspects. He can't prove anything if we just stick to our story. Now, you get this straight, David. I'll kill you if you let me down. No, I didn't mean that. I'm just thinking about you. I don't want your life spoiled before it begins. Now, you just remember, a man has been killed. The real truth comes out, you're in trouble. Bad trouble.
I know.
Just so you remember, both you and your mother.
Okay, but supposing that detective turns up again...
He won't. You just leave that to me. Just leave everything to me.
I will. And don't think I'm not grateful. Oh, I don't know how I can ever pay you back.
You just sit tight and stick to our story. That's all the payment I need.
A
I quite understand, Professor. Detective Rizzo exceeded his orders. I promise you he won't bother your family again.
I'm sorry if I lost my temper, Lieutenant.
I don't blame you, sir. You'd feel better if you could get a load of how I'm going to lose mine. Good afternoon, Professor. Detective Rizzo check in yet? All right, tell him to lug his rear end here on the double. I'm going to bust him right down a patrol.
You looking for me, Lieutenant?
Yeah, come on in and close the door.
Jarvis on the desk tells me the Williams guy was on the phone having a fit.
Didn't I tell you to stop making waves?
Well, yes,
Did
Lieutenant,
I tell you the Williams case was closed?
It can't be closed as long as there's a charge.
That's up to the judge. Now, we've done our part. We have a statement and a confession. That's all we're supposed to provide.
Uh-huh. A phony confession.
What does that mean?
Now, look. That professor has a kid. Around 17, 18, huh? I talked to him today. I'll lay you dollars to donuts. He was the one driving the car when
you
that accident...
You have any proof of that?
No, but give me an hour with that kid and I'll crack
Why,
this case.
Why, Detective Rizzo, strong-arm methods from a member of the new breeds? I thought today's young cop was exchanging the third degree for a college degree.
You know I didn't mean anything like that, but if you just give me a chance Why? To get to the bottom...
Why would a respected college professor, a guy as prominent in this town as he is... Why would he risk his reputation to cover up something his son did?
I don't know.
I mean, this guy's a teacher. The last thing in the world he'd do is let his son run out on a responsibility?
Yeah, that's the way I see it. Psychologically.
Oh, psychologically. Now, let's not get tangled up with that bull again, huh? We have a confession, Detective Rizzo.
Lieutenant, give me a break. I got the strongest hunch.
It isn't any stronger than mine. And mine is, if you don't let this lay, like I told you, you're going to be back in your boondockers walking a beat as far uptown as these city limits stretch. Okay, Detective Second Grade, is this case closed?
Well, like you say, the case is closed.
David?
Can you study, Mom? You all right?
I just want to talk a minute. What are you doing?
Just catching up on some homework.
David, that man, that detective you said came here, are you sure all he asked you about was the accident?
Look, Mom. I promised Dad I wasn't going to talk about it anymore. So did you. It's a closed book.
We're going to have to open it again. Did he ask you about anything else than the accident?
No, but...
Look, David... You have got to go to the police and tell them the truth.
Now, I promised Dad...
David, don't make me go.
You promised him, too.
You don't understand. Everything's changed. He has to be stopped. There must be some justice.
Mom, why don't you go upstairs?
Look, don't treat me like an invalid or worse, a half-wit. Have you read the newspaper that you brought up to me today?
No.
Do you know a girl named Susan Rowland?
Susan? Yeah, kind of. I mean, she was a class ahead of me at school. I guess I rapped with her here and there, but we never dated or anything like that.
Is that her picture?
Yes. Front page. What happened?
Read the story and find out. Carefully. Then you'll know why your father is so anxious to keep you quiet. David, You're going to find out why the truth has to be told.
Lieutenant Klamath here. How's everything with the talk, John?
You know how it goes with lieutenants in the police department, from bad to worse. A little favor, George.
Name it, you got it.
You see the DOA we had on the bulletin. Possible suicide, now definitely homicide.
The picture in the morning paper?
Yeah, that's the one. Susan Rowland, 19 years old, college student. We're running a routine check on all our acquaintances.
You got a make on anyone?
No. Fingerprints all over the place, but not even a warm lead.
Uh-huh. What can I do?
Well, I'm running down blind alleys. Like in her address book is the name of a guy, Grant Williams, domiciled your precinct. She seemed to have been in one of his classes at the university. Could you spare a man to check it out?
John, I don't even have to. I'll close one lead for you. What time did your little student get strangled?
Emmy puts it at around 2 o'clock. At 1:55, she called her mother to say she was pregnant, and the guy who did it was with her. She's
stirred to give his name, the connection was broken. At 2:15, a prowl car responded to a code 2, suspicion of suicide by gas. They broke in, turned off the gas, but the girl had already been dead 10 or 15 minutes. So, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, eh?
Yeah.
Well, that lets out Grant Williams. 2 o'clock, outside of town, 45 minutes away. He was involved in a traffic accident. He's already booked.
One down, how many to go? Thanks, George. Sorry to bother you.
How long ago did he leave?
Too late for you to stop him.
Oh, I ought to kill you for this.
Like you did that poor little girl.
No, I didn't mean to. The little idiot refused to have an abortion. She wanted me to marry her. Marry her, for heaven's sake.
Oh, and divorce your mule ticket.
Marion, please help me.
No, not anymore. Anyway, I couldn't even if I wanted to.
But David, maybe I can still stop David.
If you could, you'd still have to stop me.
And everything my father testified to in his statement was true, except that it was me who was driving the car, not my father. I hit that man, panicked, and drove off.
Well, don't look at me, Lieutenant. I have nothing to say.
You wouldn't have to, Rizzo. I know the boy's telling the truth. Yeah, you were right all along. I had a phone call about a half an hour.
I demand to see my son.
It's all right, Sergeant. Let him in. What is it, Professor Williams?
David, I don't want you to say one word until I've talked to you and we can get legal advice.
It's too late, Dad. I've said everything I have to say.
You don't know what you're doing.
The first time in my life, I do. I'm taking care of myself. Oh, how could you do it, Dad, to a nice kid like Susan?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can clear that up, Professor. We're booking you for the murder of Susan Rowland.
Oh, you can't. I have an alibi.
Correction. You had an alibi.
But I'm not guilty. And you can't prove it.
We will. With your help.
But what do you mean?
It's ironic, isn't it? If you hadn't walked in here and made a false confession, we might never have had your fingerprints. That's what's going to nail you. You provided us with a whole set to match up. You were just a little too clever. You managed to hang yourself. All right, take him out and book him, Jarvis.
Dad, I...
Let him go, kid, huh? Let him go. There's nothing you can do for him. Now you go on with Foster. Let him type up your statement, huh?
What's going to happen to him?
He'll be found guilty, as he ought to.
And me?
You're taking a beating already. It's an accident. Won't be too tough. And things should be looking up from now on for both you and your mother. Go on, kid.
Okay, Lieutenant.
Well, I guess I ought to start to eat my hat, Rizzo, huh? But I'd rather just say I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Me too, Lieutenant. This is one time I wish I could just have been wrong.
When you're a cop as long as I've been, there'll be a lot more. I wish I could do Stuart. Come on. Let's try the squad room coffee.
All right.
Bad as it is, it's better than the taste I got in my mouth right now.
So Marion's intuition was right, along with Rizzo's. And David made the first long stride towards being a man. Something else I'd like to say about that, but I'll return shortly.
Harold?
Mm-hmm.
I'm cold.
Yeah, I know, dear. Now, I'll have this fire going in just a minute.
Are you sure you know what you're doing? We haven't used that fireplace in years.
Oh, there's nothing to it. Now, I'll just strike this match. There. Should be going good in just a minute.
Harold, isn't the smoke supposed to go up the chimney?
Yeah, it is.
A fire in the fireplace is one answer to the energy crisis.
But the American Red Cross reminds you to be sure that your chimney and damper are cleaned and in good working order. In addition, build the fire toward the back. Keep screens around the fireplace. Don't use kerosene, lighter fluid, or gasoline to start fires, and don't leave a roaring fire unattended. For other tips on safety, contact your local Red Cross chapter.
Not every story must have a moral, but I believe this one has. Not that crime doesn't pay, that's obvious, but that the acceptance of responsibility is a cornerstone of life. The Apostle John has saved us Jesus' words, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Our cast included Arnold Moss, Ralph Bell, Clarissa Blackburn, Billy Redfield, and Christopher Tabori. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
Do you know if your husband was ever married before?
Married? No.
Are you really certain?
Now, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that Dan's a bigamist or something?
No, Mrs. Carey, certainly not that.
Then what is it?
I may be completely mistaken, but you're the only one who can prove it one way or another.
Prove what?
About whether your husband ever called himself Don Crawford. And once, 4 years ago, David Chase. See? All the same initials, like Dan Carey.
You are saying he's a criminal?
Not just a criminal, Mrs. Carey. A wife killer.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
To find out if the oil companies cooperated with the Arabs during the October Mideast War. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Senator Henry Jackson on Wednesday questioned oil company executives appearing before his committee, asking about a story concerning an Arab demand during last fall's Mideast War. John Meyer reports from Washington.
Senator Jackson asked the oil company executives what they know about charges published by the magazine Business Week that on the orders of the Arab oil countries, U.S. petroleum firms cut off the flow of oil to U.S. military installations in Europe last October when American forces were on worldwide alert because of the Mideast War.
This is a pretty serious business, gentlemen, and I want to know whether there's any corporate patriotism here or whether you knuckled under without any discussion with our government at a time of great peril.
None of the oil company executives would comment, and Jackson, noting that he has it on very good authority that there is something to the charges, demanded that the oil companies concerned provide him with a definitive answer, including documents, by next Monday. John Meyer, CBS News, on Capitol Hill.
In his energy message Wednesday, President Nixon warned that Americans could face a future shortage of natural gas, which is used to heat about 53% of the homes in America. The president suggests that natural gas prices be allowed to rise within limits to encourage suppliers to produce more of it. I'll have more news after this message.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems?
Your better business bureau knows.
But they advertised this chair for $50, and now they won't sell it to me. They're even trying to get me to buy one for $100. Isn't there anyone who can tell me what to do?
I can, madam.
But who are you?
I am the man from the Better Business Bureau. And when someone advertises an item and then won't sell it to you when you come into the store, or tries to get you to purchase something at a higher price, you may be the victim of a scheme known as bait and switch. Don't fall for it. In most places, it's illegal.
Oh, sir, how can I ever thank you?
No need to thank me, madam. That's what Better Business Bureaus are for. To help consumers get a fair deal.
Chairman Peter Rodino of the House Judiciary Committee has agreed to share subpoena power with the Republican minority on the committee. This removes an immediate threat of a partisan squabble over possible impeachment proceedings against President Nixon. The president spoke with a number of congressmen and talked about calls for his resignation or impeachment. One of the congressmen, Republican Peter Frelinghuysen of New Jersey, told part of what the president had to say.
He was quite frank in recognizing that he would be no asset or might be a liability in campaigns in 74, but he said under no circumstances would he consider resignation. That he had been elected to do a job, there was a lot of unfinished business, and he could provide the leadership, and he had every intention of remaining in office for the next 3 years. He was going to fight like hell, and he would appreciate any support we could give him.
Frelinghuysen and 17 other GOP congressmen met with President Nixon. The Agriculture Department has lowered earlier predictions for the nation's wheat supply and says the country may have to import wheat to ensure sufficient supplies. Wheat reserves already down because of huge exports may be as low as 182 million bushels by next July, and that would be the lowest since 1947. Louis Cassels, religion writer and senior editor for United Press International, is dead at his home in Aiken, South Carolina at age 52. Cassels spent 32 years with UPI and wrote about a half dozen books on religion and ethics in contemporary America. Military commanders from Israel and Egypt will hold another desert meeting Thursday to work out final details on troop pullbacks. There are reports Israel has already started pulling back some of its heavy equipment. Now this.
Listen. Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. You feel it behind the eyes, under the cheekbones. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take Sinoff tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin. Plus a sinus drainer that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. Sinoff tablets. The sinus medicine. And Sinoff doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sinoff sinus spray? The fastest known form of sinus congestion relief. It penetrates clogged nasal passages in seconds. That's something. That's Sinoff sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray, only as directed. Sinoff, S-I-N-E-O-F-F, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
What seemed to be a powerful explosion was felt late Wednesday night in northern Wales. Police reported a lot of phone calls from people saying they felt a strong tremor or heard an explosion. But because there was no actual damage discovered, police are leaning toward the theory it may have been a falling meteorite. It is rare, but once in a while a meteorite does survive entry into the atmosphere and reaches the Earth. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
The Oregon legislature holds a one-day session today. The lawmakers are meeting to postpone the effective date of Oregon's real estate disclosure law. It looks like more difficulty ahead for Oregon motorists. The Automobile Club of Oregon says some Oregon stations will run out of their January gasoline allotments before the end of the month. Arson experts say the fire that destroyed the high school in Bandon, Oregon, this morning began in two places at once. Damage has been estimated at $600,000. Washington legislators have started deliberations on a bill that could mean a special tax on passenger automobiles to discourage Washington motorists from driving heavy vehicles. House Transportation Committee Chairman Robert Perry says, if you want to drive an $11,000 car, you can pay to help others get to work. A so-called Good Samaritan Act has been approved by the Washington State House of Representatives. The proposal would exempt from damage suits persons who supply emergency care at the scene of accidents. For the third time in less than 1 year, the Washington State Senate has approved and sent to the House a bill to create a state lottery. The measure would authorize the State Gambling Commission to set up the machinery. A Washington state official has announced the establishment of a committee to test the political scene with an eye toward a possible bid for a congressional seat. Secretary of State Lud Cramer says he will decide by early April whether he will seek the third district seat held by veteran Democrat Julia Hansen. Consumer advocate Ralph Nader told the Washington State Senate today he strongly endorses federal legislation to create a national energy agency. He said the federal government should begin producing oil and natural gas on federal land for use in energy shortages. Governor Dan Evans says it may be time to relax cutbacks of electric power use in the state. He ordered cuts in the use of power by the state last September. The weather forecast for Portland, Vancouver. Occasional rain today and tonight, showers on Friday. The highs 45 to 50 degrees, the low tonight 40 degrees. Southerly winds of 10 to 20 miles per hour today. Chance of measurable precipitation 80% today and tonight. The present temperature stands at 50 degrees. That's KOIN News at 12:09. I'm Bill Garrity.
With the Greater Portland Council of Churches, KOIN Radio closes our broadcasting day with meditation time and a prayer. Transcribed by the Reverend Peter Warner, the minister of Park Rose United Methodist Church.
Here are the names of the 12 agents. First, Simon, who is called Rock. Andy, his brother. Jim, Mr. Zebedee's boy, and his brother Jack. And then Phil and Bart, Tom and Matt, the revenuer. Jim Alpheus and Tad. Simon the rebel and Judas Iscariot, who turned him in. Jesus held a briefing session, sent them out. Don't go after the people of the world, he said, and don't enter the black ghetto. Instead, go to the deluded racists of the nation. As you travel, preach on the theme, the God movement is here. Heal the sick, arouse the insensitive. Make outcasts acceptable, expel devils. You receive this power as a gift, so you share it as a gift. Don't bother to take any money or traveler's checks or pocket change. No suitcase, no extra suit, no dress shoes, no toilet kit, for the worker is worth his upkeep. When you go into a city or a town, discover who in it is receptive and stay there until you're ready to leave. Upon entering a house, introduce yourselves. If the home is receptive, let your goodwill and concern rest upon it. If not, then hold on to your goodwill and concern. When somebody won't be friendly with you or pay attention to your message, leave that home or city and wash your hands of the whole shebang. I'm telling you a fact. Paris and Berlin will have it easier on Judgment Day than that city. Listen, I'm sending you out like sheep surrounded by a pack of wolves. So be as alert as snakes and as pure as doves. Really keep your eyes peeled for people, for they'll trump up charges against you and even attack you in church. You'll be brought before the legislative committees and the high court so as to make your witness before them and before the world in general. But when they take you to court, don't get the heebie-jeebies over your defense, because what you shall say will be given you on the spot. For it won't be you that's talking. It will be the spirit of your Father that talks through you.
This This is radio station KOIN, transmitting on a frequency of 970 kilohertz with 5,000 watts of power. KOIN is owned and operated by Mount Hood Radio and Television Broadcasting Corporation. Our studios are at 140 Southwest Columbia Street in Portland, Oregon. We are leaving the air now to return at 5:30 tomorrow morning. On behalf of the management, staff, and personnel of COIN, this is Bill Myers inviting you to join us again for another full day of the best in radio. Good night.